love, kindness, human connection. These are some of the things we talk about on the Danny Painter Show. It's a thing. This show is intended for a more mature audience. We might sometimes say bad words.
Okay, so are you guys ready to start? Hello, Eric, I'm Danny. Welcome to this room.
Nice to meet you.
And you also. Oh, there are records behind you.
Oh, yeah.
That is cool. My dad's also on XOTV. I don't know if you've seen his studio, but he has like 2,000 vinyls in the studio that just around him. He used them as
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I have like in my garage, I have a bunch of records that were given to me, passed down to me from like, I think my grandfather or something like that. And Eric was going through them the other day and he was finding a couple of gems in there. I don't remember what they were. Eric probably remembers because he has savant memory, but.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of like 1920s, like jazz records, like, and they're like the old, like the really thick 180 gram vinyl. It's crazy.
Wow. Wait, so you stole some of his grandfather's records?
No, I was just going through them.
Yeah, find them now. Where'd they go?
Did you though, Eric? Did you steal any is the actual question.
No, they would have weighed me down so much. They were like literally each one was like 5 pounds.
Listen, guys, first, before we start, thank you for your patience and understanding. South Africa is an absolute fucking shit show at the moment. So if this dies... we'll have to reschedule, but hopefully if we start now, hopefully we'll miss load shedding. So
okay, fingers crossed.
Are we ready to go?
Let's do it.
Fingers crossed. This is one of the weirdest, because I actually interviewed another heavy metal band that was somewhat weirder because they were in real life and I was only 16. But anyway, the John Candy, fellow XOTV creators. Not sure what is happening. So please, before we get into who you are, just please tell me about this. What is this?
Yeah, sure. So, we first started the band back in like 2005. So we've actually been around for a really long time. And it was started with our bass player, Brent, who's actually not here, and Eric. And they were just saying like, hey, let's just start like an old school throwback hardcore band, like tons of breakdowns, and all John Candy movie quotes. And so we're just like, okay, cool. And then they needed a vocalist and I was singing with them in another metalcore band at the time. And so I said, yeah, let's do this. It sounds fun and ridiculous. And, that was kind of, we love being fun and ridiculous. So it was a perfect opportunity to do something weird. So we did it. We just did like a little 3-song EP. It was terrible. And then we did nothing with the band until 2017. And in 2017, we started to reform and we always knew that we wanted the band to be just fun to be the definition. Like the weird is in there too, but we wanted it to be like theatrical. And like when we do live shows, we want people to be like, what the hell am I watching? But I love it kind of thing. And I think that where this specifically came from was I had a picture of John Candy when I made a logo back in 2005. It was just his face. And half of it was kind of shrouded, like it was shrouded in shadow. And then the idea that the mashup in my head popped up of like the image of like the Terminator with the one, like the glowing red eye. And I made it like just a little picture out of it. And I was like, dude, let's make masks out of that. And then we'll perform live in that. We'll all wear the same thing. And I think that should be pretty entertaining and weird. And that's how we did it. And so how we actually got to what you see right now is that with, when we had to make a prototype, I was like, well, how are we going to make this? I know nothing about making a mask. And so I just went and found the cheapest, crappiest, mask I could find on Amazon. It was a Trump mask. It was like $20. So I got the Trump mask for $20. It put a bicycle light in the eyes. It's just the one that goes on the back of your bike. And then I put a GoPro head mount, stapled it into the mask. We got the hoodies going and that's how you get what you see today.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's a lot to unpack here. I think let's start with the EP that you don't love and the beginning of this band. So, Eric, you guys have been in this band together from the word go, or?
Yeah. So we were in an actual band at first, and like he was saying, it started just kind of as like a side project, and then it fizzled. We recorded 3 songs, but I wasn't even involved in the original recording. I was just, the original intent was to be an actual band. Like, I was going to play drums, Brent was going to do bass, and we were probably going to have someone else do guitar at the time. And then literally just radio silence for years. And the way this version of the band came about is a friend, I was involved in like electronic music at the time, and a friend just told me, you know, hey, how about you make something for like for drums and I'll play guitar to it. And I was like, okay, that could be fun. And when I kind of started, I was thinking of ideas for riffs that maybe he could mimic. So then I started just plucking little guitar riffs from tons of songs. And then that's how and then I showed it to Brandon. I was like, hey, look, I just took tons of like guitar riffs from tons of songs and I made a song out of it. And then that's when we kind of were saying like, we could maybe just do this as the new version of the band, and we don't need a guitar player, we don't need a drummer, we could just do everything ourselves, just like two. And then Brent came along to play bass, and that's what you see now.
Yeah, and Eric is actually he's actually a trained drummer. So actually, in our old band, Eric was the drummer. So he has that background of understanding beats and how they're made on physical drums. But then what really excited me about when he started making these songs with kind of like all the sampled and stitched together guitars was that I was like, first thing I was like, I don't know if anybody's ever done this. So like to me, it was very exciting to do something that hasn't been done, because that feels like it's impossible to do nowadays, especially in the metal scene, because Eric also had this like 10 years of working in EDM, you know, electronic dance music. He was playing shows with Skrillex and all this. His name at the time was the Juggernaut. And so he learned tons of stuff about dubstep and yada yada. So he kind of took those bouncy elements and the way that a song will evolve in a live show that gets the audience hyped and gets them excited, you know, up, down, and then boom. And kind of mashed that all together. And so that's why, like, when I first heard it, it just blew my mind. And I was just like, I have to be involved in this. And it's awesome, too, because, you know, at our age now, we have careers. We do this as a fun thing on the side. And I think it's very conducive to that, in the sense that, like, we don't have to worry about getting approvals from 4 other band members or, you know, having practice 2-3 times a week. It's like basically Eric just sits on his couch with surrounded by cats and dogs and put the song together.
Sounds like my life. Okay, wait. What normal job do you have this weird middle band Donald Trump,
oh, yeah.
Black Moss people.
So Eric has an interesting career. I'll let him talk about himself. And me, I've been in IT for 15 years, so information technology. I'm an information technology manager. I do pretty much everything with computers.
And then what about you? I do corporate travel for Louis Vuitton. And so it's kind of just like
well, also like, and where you got your career started too is really interesting too.
Oh, I mean, for 15 years I worked with kids with autism, and then so I did that for 15 years, and then that it kind of started that just because we were doing music, and I was like, oh man, working with kids is like the perfect schedule. It's 8 to 2,
yeah.
And then my nights are free, my weekends are off, my summers are off. So that's originally how it started, and then I ended up really enjoying it. And so I was doing that for 15 years, and then my mom works in the same office as I do, and my wife and I would travel, and I guess the boss just assumed my mom was the one booking everything for us and like learning how to like, you know, work with the airlines and all that stuff. And then when she found out I was just doing that on my own, her boss offered me a job, and that's kind of just how I ended up here.
Wow. Okay. I can get the IT. I'm definitely with the like I thing and the, there's definitely like a very like cyberpunk vibe for me a little bit. But
I'm 80s obsessed, so absolutely.
The luxury travel, that's, I mean, you know what, I'm all for glam metal. I'm here for metal, actually, just all of it. But I was very pleasantly surprised. So reading up about you guys, and reading that the lyrics are quotes from John Candy movies, and the music is just it's all just kind of a mashup of everything that you guys did. I wasn't expecting a lot. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was cautiously optimistic, and I was going into this with as open a mind as one can. But I have been consuming metal my entire life, and so going into this, I was like, I don't know. And then I listened. And now I'm listening all the time, and I've got to tell you, I dig it. This is definitely the kind of metal that I would 100% be into. But why John Candy?
I think Eric can answer that.
Brett and I were just obsessed with John Candy movies, and the idea just came about because there were bands. When we were, you know, at the time when we were a band, there were bands like Mateau, who dressed all like pirates, and there were bands like Shockwave, who literally just wore all black and everything like that. So I guess it kind of speaks into the nature of how the band is. We took that idea, but made a joke out of it. And we're like, oh, we should just all dress like John Candy. And so the original idea was we were just going to each dress like a John Candy character. Like, that was the original idea. Like, one of us would wear, like, the Kenosha Kickers jacket. And, you know, Brent would dress like, you know, John Candy from Great Outdoors or something like that. So even from day one, everything was always a parody, right? And when we realized, oh, yeah, it's a lot easier just to all wear a mask and a hoodie, that's kind of how it ended up there. But the John Candy thing, it was just honestly just because we were always quoting John Candy movies, and we were obsessed with like Uncle Buck and things like that. That's how it all started.
Do you think that a band like yours is necessary, especially in the times that we find ourselves in now? Because I've spoken to many musicians over the last 400 and whatever day we're on, and they're all talking about the deepness and the feelings and the things. And then you guys come along, and it's actually fun. And the music is fun to listen to. And you do get that, like, jump, jump, happy vibe from it. You think it's necessary that there are more of you?
I'm really happy you asked that question, because I've definitely noticed I mean, we've been metalheads, hardcore kids, whatever you want to call it, our whole lives, Eric and I. We've been into heavy music since I can remember. Like, I remember in fourth grade, my friend showing me, what was it, White Zombie and Metallica, and I was just like, my mind was blown. Because before that, I was listening to, like, early 90s, like, dance pop and stuff like that. You know, I was like, in what, like, second, fourth grade, something like that, whatever. But, basically, like, I've just gone heavier and heavier, like, throughout my life as far as heavy music goes. I started getting into, like, more like hard, like, from new metal into hardcore into grindcore, metalcore, death metal, deathcore. Like, I mean, there's, like, a million subgenres, right? And I think one of the main issues with heavy music is, like, a lot of people are afraid to have fun. Like you said, fun is, like, the perfect word. And not only that, but it seems like if you try to introduce fun, it makes people in metal really angry. Like, either they, like, there's a small subset of people that love it and really appreciate it, and I think that's where we've carved out our niche so far. But beyond that, like, the vitriol that we've gotten from some people is just very interesting, especially combined with the fact that we're not playing live instruments. That's just, like, You are the worst person on earth because you're playing metal and you don't have an instrument. You go home, you suck, blah, blah, blah. But I kind of like the challenge of that too, in the sense of, like, I feel like it fits the theme of the band that we're just doing all this weird, different stuff and taking this amalgamation, this mashup of so many different things that I like. The challenge of, like, somebody saying, oh, this sucks, I don't like that. Well, I'm going to try to make something that will surprise you or something like that. Obviously, we need to be having fun with it and enjoying it and liking it ourselves. Mm-hmm. But if I can convert somebody, that's kind of cool and interesting to me too.
You know, I love this because we find it in South Africa, in the metal scene as well. There's a lot of, like, infighting. And because you are this genre, you aren't part of the Metal Awards. And if you are this genre, then you'll most likely win all of the awards every year. And this leads to a lot of bands breaking away from the actual group subculture of metal into all of these different things. And I wanted to talk to you about some of your different things because I've written them down. Sample Core, Tribute Core, there were some other ones. There was a really funny one, and now I can't remember.
Oh, Nostalgia Core.
Nostalgia Core. I was like, that gives me like warm fuzzies for like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because we've had people reach out to us saying like, oh my god, the movies you guys use, I grew up on this stuff, and now you're taking like stuff from my childhood and putting it into the heavy music that I love, and like that's like insanely inspiring for me, because I'm a super super nostalgic person. Like I just get like you said, like the warm and fuzzies from anything nostalgic that I just grew up on and loved so much. And it, actually a lot of those terms, I think we like ourselves, we only threw sample core on there because literally everything we do is samples. And people still don't get that. Like a lot of people still don't get it. Like, wait, there's no real guitars? Like, no, it's all samples. Wait, there's no drums? No, it's all samples. But the other ones, like, I think actually people, you know, who came to our shows, like we say, like fans that came to our shows actually said, like, you guys are like tribute core. You're paying tribute to all these like amazing movies and TV shows, you know, throughout the years. We only said sample core. Someone recently said meme core too. That's a new one we just got. Because the new Dexter song that we did, so it's the Bay Harbor Butcher. It's a Dexter the TV show themed, and I totally forgot where I was going with that. Never mind. Oh no, I got it. Exactly. So it was there's a I don't know if we can cuss on this, surprise mother effer
swear as much as you want. I swear all the time.
Okay. So in Dexter, like one of the pivotal scenes in the show, Doakes' character, which I can say it now, season two, it aired like 10 years ago. He says, surprise, motherfucker. And, it's been memed a million times. And so of course, like we're going to do a Dexter song, one of the most pivotal scenes, we have to throw it in the song. So we did. And I think we had a couple people comment, like when the song came out, like, what is this, like meme core? What is this? And I was like, dude, I love that. Yeah. And then I even saw this guy on TikTok in the last couple weeks. I think he's from the UK, I want to say. Can't remember. It's like Joby Drums or something like that. He's doing these things on TikTok right now where he's putting memes over metal music or like Karen freakouts over metal music, and they're super funny. And I'm like, I messaged the guy, I was like, dude, you're doing exactly what we do as a band. This is awesome. I love it. It's like we're all making this like subgenre of metal.
You need to send this to me because currently my TikTok algorithm is so fucking disturbing. I found King Talk and I need to change it. So can you please send me that so that I can start changing?
Oh, for sure. TikTok is so, it's so weird. Like I got our band on it like maybe 6 months ago, but I've been hitting it a lot more recently. And you're absolutely right. The algorithm is super weird. The videos that get suggested to me, I'm like, what the hell are they thinking? Like, where is this coming from? Like some of it like makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, I love this. And then I'll get a video of like someone like hurting an animal or something. And I'm like, I don't want to see that. Like, this is terrible. Like I've seen like some racist stuff. I'm like, I don't get that. Like, makes no sense to me. But otherwise, it's been kind of fun.
I don't know what you're plugged into because I'm not getting. I'm just getting like all of the weird shit, like the like DOMs and subs and brackets.
Oh.
And I'm like,
I definitely did not get that.
I mean, I'm here for it, but how did you know? You know, like no one knows this about me, and here you are, just like throwing it at me. So I don't know how it works, but please help me change that algorithm. Okay, so obviously you guys are, you're a band that samples, and you don't actually play an instrument, but that doesn't mean that you don't create the music. So talk me through how a song happens from concept to releasing, because I just have this feeling that it's a lot more fucking work the way that you do it than if you just
like. It absolutely is. I think, well, Eric, do you want to talk about it or do you want me to and you want to fill in the blanks?
Yeah, go ahead and start.
Okay. So it basically starts with Eric just basically spending hours and hours listening to every like hardcore band, big, small, medium, metalcore band, whatever, especially instrumental albums. A lot of bands have been releasing instrumental albums. He just listens to stuff and just looks for snippets that he likes. So, I mean, it's just really like, again, like applying the principles of electronic dance music and sampling, but to metal. So he'll find little like 2 second guitar snippets he likes. Depending on how the song starts to formulate, he'll pitch shift them. He'll speed them up, slow them down, reverse them, whatever it is. It painstakingly go through and stitch all this stuff together in, I forget which music program do you use, Eric?
Ableton,
yeah. And then he'll go, and so in that pass, he'll get all the guitars, then he'll go through and do all the electronic drums, you know, on the keyboard, boom, 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 boom. Then I think he starts doing samples a lot later on in the song. So like as he's building the song, I think if he gets like a feeling or a mood or whatever, like, oh, this would be perfect, or I like that quote that I heard, he'll throw that in. And basically he starts sending stuff to me pretty early on, and we don't really work in the same room until we go to record vocals. So he does all this in his house, like basically sitting on his couch with his laptop. Then we get to the songs to the point where it's like they're ready for my vocals. I'll go and write lyrics, and it just depends. Sometimes I'll go super silly. Sometimes I'll go serious, usually more silly. Sometimes I'll do a mix. And then, when it's ready, he comes over. I have my vocal booth recording set up in the garage. I got like a little $300 setup. Very proud of it. That's just crazy. Like the fidelity that you can get nowadays with very little money. Yeah. And so he goes in there. We record vocals. If there's like little things in the song that I don't like or that we want to change, we'll talk those out. We'll usually do some collaboration and experimentation there. And then usually like I have those moments where it's like, I'm like, dude, I got something in my head, try this. And then he'll do it. And if it works, like I just lose my mind. I'm a very excitable person. So I'll be like, yeah, yeah, that's the one. Yes. And then he'll be like, yeah, yeah, cool. So I think that's what kind of, in a nutshell, what did I miss, Eric?
No, that's pretty much it. Like from day one to end, I would say there's probably, we go through like hundreds and hundreds of versions of the songs. They're changing sometimes daily, hourly. So I guess that's the difference in like our process versus like a band where like, cause we don't meet once a week to have band practice and like flesh it out. It's like, if we have an idea, it could be done in minutes. So technically, I guess, cause when people, I guess when we got that review, like they say, oh, the fact that we release music so quick, I guess, means that we, like, don't care.
Oh, wait, I don't know if she knows about the review. Do you know about the really bad review we got?
You are, congratulations, firstly. If you're being hated, you're not doing a good job.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
Yeah. I mean, I loved the review. I mean, this guy is like a poet of hate. And like, I loved whatever he said. I found it very funny. I've got no hard feelings. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, but, what did he say? Do you remember?
Just like, oh, we know a specific thing he said because it's the title of our new EP we're working on.
Yeah.
Now you better believe we embrace that.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
He kind of just said, like, you know, just because of the fact that we release music so quick just shows that, like, we don't care about it or there's, like, no thought behind it. But, I mean, there is. It's just in the nature of the way we work, we're just able to work faster.
We don't have 100 checks and balances to go through. We don't have a manager. We don't have a label. We don't have – I mean, we do everything in-house. Like, literally every job for a band through the entire stack is done by Eric and I. So like I remember basically the line that stood out in the whole review, because I think it was actually Brent's idea when he read the review. And we'll give them a plug too. Deadpress.uk. They're the ones who wrote it. This guy, Zach Buggy, is the one who wrote it. There you go, Zach. So he says that our band or the album that he was reviewing, which was 28 Samples Later, which was our second full length that we released last year because it was 2020 and everyone, the world was in chaos. Everyone was staying home. He's a smart guy. That's how we wrote two albums. So he said that the band or the album or whatever was an abysmal waste of cosmic dust. And we were like, man, that's intense. That's wordy. And that's a very metal. Like, we should actually use that as the title for the EP. And so, definitely did that. We just revealed the artwork, last Friday. And the artwork is, it's super weird. So basically, if you go to our Instagram, you can see the art. It kind of looks like a mashup, and it kind of is, of an owl, a spider, and I think like two other animals, and maybe even like some, like a truck or something. I don't know. But basically what it was, I found this website that uses an AI algorithm to artificially create art. So it's like, it's an AI creating art, which I thought was also very fitting for us, and like the nerdiness and the, you know, Terminator, you know, LED eye, all that kind of stuff. So you basically throw a bunch of images at it, and then you can kind of do a bunch of sliders to pick like how much of the spider you want in it, or how much of like the owl or the cat or whatever you want in this picture. And it spits out an image. And so I've always been kind of fascinated with the concept of the uncanny valley, which is like basically like assigning human elements to something fake or robotic. And so the uncanny valley is kind of like this curve where it's like, it gets to a point where it's like something looks so real, but you know, something's off, like the human eye can perceive it. So it makes you uncomfortable, really, like think like an android or something like that. So I wanted to be very uncomfortable making this art, even though really the AI is making the art. So it just spit out this image, and after 2 hours of manipulating it, I just have like this, I had this massive headache. Cause like I do like all of our art design, like all of our covers I've made, all of our t-shirts, like you name it, I've done it all. And so, I just got this massive headache for making this art. And I was like, okay, this is a good sign. I'm like, I'm uncomfortable. I hate it. I don't like looking at it. So I feel like this is the right direction. So, yeah, that's how it ended up being that. And then we thought that was kind of fitting, saying it's an abysmal waste of cosmic dust, because an AI created it essentially, right? So it's like everything we're doing is meaningless.
You are not the beautiful and unique snowflake that you think you are.
Nope.
Same claim, organic matter is everything else. Although I'm stealing that line. I'm gonna be calling some people that from now on. That is
you abysmal waste of cosmic dust. That's like as low as it gets, I think.
Yeah. The way that you said that, you know what, you guys win. I've been, some people have said some shit to me. You have officially won. I'm actually quite sad that my followers aren't as poetic or well read or versed as yours. Must be amazing.
Well, we were also toying with the idea of all the song titles being like, you know, horrible things he said about us throughout the interview. So like, that was another idea.
Yeah, we haven't ruled that out. We haven't titled the songs yet, so we could still do that. We even talked about it, because I noticed the reviewer has a band or some like little side project thing he does or something. So we're like, maybe we should sample.
No, don't. Don't give that idea away.
No, that's not happening. It's not happening. Okay. Anyway, what happens when you run out of John Candy shit? Look, are we going to move on to like someone else?
Ooh, good question.
Well, I think we kind of already have, in the sense that our last, so we've done a lot of EPs and then two full lengths. What's that?
You've done Dexter.
Yeah, exactly. So so basically with our Orange County album, which was the first full length we did in 2020, which came out in February, like a month or two before lockdown, we started doing a lot more different movies. And then we did like a big time tribute to John Candy on the last track. The song is just called John Candy. And it has like excerpts from the day he died, from his funeral. Cause like, and that song, like, I think for me, that's the most emotional song we've written, is because it kind of summarizes like our love for him and what he did and his contributions to the world. And then with the newest album, 28 Samples Later, which came out at the end of 2020, I'm actually trying to remember. I think we only did a couple small John Candy quotes in there. I know at the beginning of our very maturely titled Funky Butt Loving, John Candy's doing his monologue from Rookie of the Year, which that song is based on that movie from like the early 90s, where the kid breaks his arm and he becomes an amazing pitcher and goes into the major baseball league, major leagues. And then, yeah, I think the difference between the Orange County and 28 Samples Later is Orange County, there was a lot more 80s themed stuff in there and 80s sounds. Whereas like 28 Samples Later, we were like, okay, like everyone's doing a lot of synth wave, which we love. I love 80s stuff. I'm an 80s kid. But with 28 Samples Later, we felt like we wanted to go more 90s. So we started, Eric started in putting in like, oh, what was like, pump up the jam, pump it up, like all these like really cheesy early 90s dance songs. And I think it fits the band, the theme of the band of just, you know, being fun in general. But yeah, so like we definitely started to experiment with things outside of John Candy.
I know that this is it's a passion project for you, obviously, because you have real lives and jobs outside of this. But for a lot of, especially like musos and lyricists and writers, it's a release, right? Creating is a release. Do you still find that even though it's kind of tongue in cheek?
Oh, absolutely. I would say every month in some new way, I'm living out my dreams in the sense that since I was a kid, I've wanted to be in a band. I have been in other bands. But nothing that was, I think, as exciting as this has been, just in the sense of like, just kind of like almost like trailblazing and applying electronic dance music concepts to metal, like just doing things that people haven't done is really excites me. So it's challenging because it's something that, like I said, like it just hasn't been done, at least that we know of. I would love to know if somebody else has done this. So I want to talk to them. But yeah, I get to do my creative outlet from a music perspective. I get to challenge myself vocally. I get to challenge myself lyrically. I've always loved writing. I do all of our videos in the sense of like, I'm our editor. I'm our effects guy. I love Photoshop. So I get to like exercise. Like when I was a kid, I went to all sorts of art classes and everything like that. So I'm getting to do like all these different like random skills that I've learned throughout my life, and I get to apply them all through one medium. So personally for me, I mean, it's just like, it's exciting for me every month, every day, every week. But what about you, Eric?
I mean, Brandon's already laughing because he knows we're like, this is like where we're like completely opposite. Like me, like I enjoy working on the songs, and I'd probably be just as happy if like the songs never went anywhere, because I like the way Brandon described how he's the talker. He's the face, right? Like he loves talking to people who like the band. Me, I get very awkward. I don't enjoy it. So I'm much happier just behind the scenes working on the computer, making the songs. And if I was never seen or did a show, I'd be fine with that. So that's where we're like drastically different.
On that point, I think it is very, it's very appropriate and thematic in the sense that like our band is like, we've always described it as a band of contrasts. So it's like the angry side and the funny side. And we inject that into pretty much everything we do. And it's super authentic because even Eric and I's personalities are very contrasting in those ways too. So I think that kind of makes it a little more authentic and a little interesting.
You need that balance in everything. You probably wouldn't create the amazing shit that you create without having such contrasting personalities, you know? One of you has to be the crazy, wild, like outgoing one, and the other one has to ground that one. But also you probably bring out, I mean, it's like any good relationship, right? And that's what a band is. So global pandemics, I mean, we're fucked in South Africa. We're never getting vaccinated, but you guys are doing quite well. So what's happening? Are you touring? Like, what's happening?
Oh, man. You want to go ahead, Eric?
I mean, okay. What's funny is, so like, we were gonna play a show, and like right now, so I'm actually gonna be donating my kidney. So we were gonna, yeah. So we were really. Yeah, I'll go back to that. But we were gonna play shows in Philadelphia. And then the pandemic happened. We had like a bunch of shows scheduled. Then the pandemic happened. So now we're trying to get stuff going. And now my kidney is leaving. And so we're kind of just trying to, you know, work out a timeline to, one, go to Philadelphia like we promised. And then two, do some shows locally. So back to the kidney,
dude.
So yeah. my mother-in-law has kidney disease and is not doing well. My wife is not allowed to be the donor because it's hereditary, and the doctors can't guarantee she won't need it in the future. And so I volunteered to get tested, honestly not thinking it would get this far. Like, I didn't. I was just like, yeah, sure. Like, they could test me, no problem. And then they were like, oh, you're in perfect health. Why don't, can you check this? And I would check it thinking, okay, this is where they're going to tell me I'm not a match. And they were like, no, you're good. Can you come to South Carolina to meet the surgeons and do like 2 days of literally, they tested me head to toe. And it, at some point, I still thought they would find something wrong. And no, they haven't found one thing wrong with me. I'm like half cockroach. I'm never gonna die.
That's fucking metal, dude. Like, donating your kidney to someone who needs it, that's really awesome. You are a much better fucking person than I would ever be, because I can tell you right now my mother-in-law's not getting mine. So, good for you. But she's very lucky. You must be so popular in your family.
They said I'll be out in a day. Like, it's literally just a quick surgery on my end.
A whole kidney.
Yeah. So, and it's kind of just weird how it worked out. Like, I don't know, call it coincidence, call it fate, whatever. Normally your kidneys were 50-50. And because of my mother-in-law's age, if I were to donate to her, the surgeon said he would try to talk me out of it and want me to give it to someone young, because if my kidneys were working the way they're supposed to, my kidney would outlive my mother-in-law, right?
Wow.
But for some weird reason, my kidneys are working like 61-39.
So which one's she getting?
She gets the 39.
Oh, okay.
But the doctor said it's just weird how this worked out, because when someone her age gets a kidney, they usually want it in the 30%. And they were just saying, it's just so weird that yours just happened to be working like that and you're donating it to her. And so, like I just said, it's just weird how it all worked out. So my kidneys work 61-39. I keep the 61. She gets the 39. The surgery's 90 minutes. The cut is that big. They pull it out. I'm out of the hospital the next morning. I'm back to normal in like a couple of weeks.
Wow. Last question about the kidney thing, because we've completed it. But how does this affect your drinking? How does it affect your living?
Oh, okay. So I did ask that, and they were like, so how often do you drink? And I was like, I'm gonna be honest, I drink nightly. Like every day when I'm making dinner, I make a drink and I make dinner. And then they were like, okay, that's fine. And they're like, how often do you drink 6 or more a day? And I was like, oh, I would say rare to never. And they're like, oh, then you're 100% fine. Don't even worry about it. And so there. And then the crazy thing is, everyone on the medical team has already gone through this. They've all, like, I guess they're like walking the walk, because they've all donated their kidneys. Wow. And so you're able, when I was there meeting with them, they're able to tell you firsthand, like, nothing is different. Like, my life is exactly how it was, as it was before. The only difference is I have one kidney.
Wow.
That's it.
So my takeaway is,
so nice. I've never met anyone who's donated anything. Yeah.
Oh, trust me.
That's nice.
When I was in South Carolina and I realized, like, you know, because I went with my in-laws and they're old and they're in bed by like 6 o'clock. So when they were like, oh, you know, you ready to go to bed? I'm like, the sun's still out. Like, how am I supposed to go to sleep? And so I would like go out and, you know, explore the city and go to bars. And I guess in South Carolina, I stick out really bad because everyone there dresses in like yellow and baby blue and what, and I was walking around in like black jeans, and everyone would be like, oh, so where are you visiting from? No one assumed I lived there, first of all. No one assumed I lived there.
But was it your tattoos also, or are people tatted up there?
Yeah, it was a mixture of everything. Like, I just looked very obviously that I didn't live there. And so when people ask what I was doing there, I would just be like, oh, you know, I'm here at the hospital. And they would ask if I was okay. And then once I got into the story, I didn't end up paying for one drink everywhere I went. So I was like, oh my God, I'm telling everybody.
I'm using this.
Yeah. Everyone would be like,
boobs, I'm donating your kidney. That's the drinks I want tonight.
Yeah. Everyone would be like, that's so nice. Oh, put his round on my tab. And I'm like, what? I would pretend like, no, don't. Also, okay, the thing.
Can I just be like the person here with half a brain? If you tell me that if you were at a bar and you tell me that you're donating a kidney, I'm not buying you a drink. I'm buying you water because you're giving that to someone else. And okay. I'm going to be like, I'm not going to be part of this problem.
So they would all ask, they're like, wait, but how come you're here drinking if you're donating a kidney? I'm like, man, that's your liver. I was like, kidney is separate. I'm like, we're good. I told all the doctors what I was doing, and they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. You're fine.
Okay.
And
I was going to say, my takeaway is that apparently if you're under 6 drinks a day, you're good to go.
I'm fucked.
Yeah. And pretty much they told me just, I could only take Tylenol for the rest of my life. I don't know why. But
you can't take Advil or something?
Advil or ibuprofen really hits your kidneys hard, apparently. And so they told me, if I only have one, I can't risk it.
Okay, listen, this is stuff that we should know, that people with 2 kidneys should know, like at the beginning of your life. Like, surely.
Yeah.
Knowing that it hits the kidneys hard would be very helpful throughout your life so that you're not, like, you know, taking 3 or 4 at a time when you have, like, a headache.
Yeah, see, and I never used to know that either. And then they told me that. They're like, Tylenol is very light on your kidneys versus where the other ones, the surgeon's the one who told me that. He goes, they hit it hard. So especially only having one, just don't do it. He's like, don't risk it. It's not good for you. And I was like, okay.
I didn't expect to learn so much tonight.
Me too.
I was coming in here expecting to, like, ask you to teach me how to, like, growl.
I mean, well, that's all Brandon. I don't do that.
Hey, you do it live.
Yeah, but it's
you're out of practice.
Yeah, I haven't done.
I did it. It's also part of my TikTok algorithm, so it's like very dark kink talk, and then it's like clean talk, and then it's like middle talk, right? And there are people that teach you how to, like, do the growl thing. And I have listened to middle my whole life, and I've never, ever, ever, ever got it. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be the one thing. TikTok is going to teach me. And I almost crashed my car coughing. I was, like, dying.
That was Eric when he was first learning the stream. He'd be like,
and I had the worst headache. Yeah, I had a headache for, like, 2 days, so. It was so bad.
Yeah, because, like, when you first are trying to do it, like, you end up doing it all in your throat, in your head. And even I was guilty of this, too, when I first started. And it's all needs to come from the diaphragm, just like singing. So otherwise, you're just shredding your vocal cords and giving yourself a headache. And I don't even know how to tell somebody how to do it. You just, like, it ends up being a feeling. You just end up try different movements, putting your body in different positions, and then eventually you just kind of get it.
Okay. Well, thanks for nothing, TikTok. but that makes sense. That's why all of you still have voices at the end of, like, massive tours and massive albums. I've been thinking for drums.
Well, I think what's interesting, too, like, I think in recent years, it feels like metal vocalists have really been stepping up their game in the sense of, like, there's just so many weird sounds and things that people are doing where I'm just like, I hear it and I'm like, oh, my God, I want to learn how to do that. And then I try to do it and I'm terrible at it. And then eventually I think I get okay at it. But, I mean, there's just so many techniques like fry chords and gutturals and growls and mid, high, low screams. I mean, there's so much more than, it's almost like there's, like, the same amount of types of screams as there are musical notes. It's really interesting. So I like playing with that in the songs too, in general, like trying to do as many different vocal techniques as I can, because otherwise the screaming just becomes monotonous if you're just doing one kind of scream throughout the entire song. Never. You need something dynamic.
Never. I can listen to someone scream for 3 minutes. It's the best sound for me. Like, it is calming, Neutral, happy sound. I cannot listen to Beyonce for 3 minutes, but I can listen to you do Screamo for 3 minutes.
So funny. Yeah, because like it's funny you say that because you say calming, because I've always been able to fall asleep to the heaviest metal possible. Like, I remember being a kid and falling asleep to like the first Korn album. And people were like, what? This makes no sense. I'm like, it puts me to sleep. It's relaxing. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think the three of us in our black clothing and our tattoos and our just metal music are never going to fit in. So thank you for telling me about South Carolina. I'm sure it's a lovely place, but I don't know if I'll be going next. I live in, I think, baby South Carolina. Very small, on the Bible Belt of Africa, like small town farming community. And I go to the shops looking like this.
Yeah.
And I get, we call it skiffs, where the aunties look at you like you're eating something, you know? Like you, what's wrong with you? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I'll avoid. I think I'll go to like the fun places, like Amsterdam.
Oh, man. I love it.
Yeah, same. No, it's funny because, like, for us here in Southern California, I don't even notice when people have tattoos or piercings. It is so common. Like, you just see it everywhere. Like, I can't even imagine being somewhere where people are looking at you like, ooh, what? Huh? Ew. Like, this, that blows my mind.
Well, come tour in South Africa and I will show you. So after kidney donation, recovery time, back on tour, when the world opens, possibly bigger, more places tour. But where can we like find you? Where can we follow you? Where can we keep up with all the things that you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on our social media. I'm usually posting at least once or twice a week, depending on the platform. So I mean, we're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, XOTV, Twitter. I mean, you name it, all of them. But my favorite thing to do is make little like random teaser snippets from our songs. Like I'll usually take like scenes from a movie, weave them in through the song. They're usually like 30 seconds ish. That's really the easiest way to consume us. Obviously, we're on every streaming platform: Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, pretty much everything out there. So it's pretty easy to find us in that sense. Live show wise, I mean, we've literally only played 2 shows, and they've both been at the same place. This place called Program Skate and Sound. Actually owned by the singer of Death by Stereo, this guy Ephraim, super cool dude. And it's a skate shop, and at night they convert it into a venue, and we love playing there. It's tiny, it's perfect size for us. Like I'd say max capacity is, Eric, what, like 30 people?
Oh my god, no, there's been some shows where they really pack it in, like a little
like sardines, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I would say maybe like 50 people, like 50.
Yeah, 60. And they're like this, like but like we definitely want to play a lot more shows, because basically we released the full-length album Orange County, and we started booking shows, like you said, the Philadelphia thing, and then COVID just ruined everything. The Philadelphia one was interesting too, because it was a little contest we ran on our Instagram where we said, hey, you know, I don't remember what it was. It was like, whoever tags the most people or leaves the most comments will come play your house. We said your house. Our buddy in Philadelphia, well, now our buddy, goes by Milk Breather on Instagram. He won. And so we were going to play this rad little venue called the Snake Pit. We had it all set up. We had our tickets booked. We were ready to go. We were going to fly out there, because we can travel like DJs, because we don't need to bring a bunch of equipment with us. So it's a lot easier to travel, which is fantastic and very conducive to playing shows outside of our Southern California bubble. But COVID ruined that. We had to cancel the other shows we had booked. So now we plan to, hopefully in the next couple of months, we want to do at least 2 local shows, because we didn't get to play anything for both full-length albums. So we want to do 1 show where it's all songs from 28 Samples Later, and then another show where it's all songs from Orange County. And then, you know, whatever else we can jump on, we're open to it.
And then you have to come and play in my house. We'll have a bride.
Never been to South Africa. Let's go. Let's do it.
Come here. I'll get all of the weirdos to come. I was going to sell put up Halloween decorations, but they're still up. So come in.
Yeah, awesome. Very down for that.
Guys, and my wife's been. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
This has been awesome. XOTV, I will link your channel down below. Eric, good luck.
Thank you.
I mean, you either need to come back and tell us how that was later.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
when does that happen?
Oh, when? Right now, I don't know. I don't know yet, just because it's right now I'm in the process of, so I just got done with the testing, and for the next 2 weeks, they are mixing my blood with her blood to make sure my, the, you know, they don't react. Right, and then the hospital board reviews the case and then gets back to me with a surgery date.
So basically it's
probably sooner than later, to be honest, yeah, because she's at like 12% kidney function total. So that's like 6 each. So it's pretty bad.
Okay. Good luck.
Thanks.
Awesome, guys. That's it. We're done. Thank you for your time.
Remember, you can catch the full video on exotv.me, and you can meet us in kind of real life. Thanks to DJ Chuck for the music. You can catch him at www.chucksprosound.co.za. New episodes on Jackpod and ExoTV every Monday. Love you.